Bienvenidos y welcome to the Biz Bruja Podcast, where reclaiming our powerful intuition, our sacred medicina, embracing our magic and healing ancestral patterns, invoke powerful creations in our own well-being, our lives, familias, community, and our businesses. Remembering that our businesses are so important at this time. I'm the creatrix of this blogcast, the Biz Bruja herself, Vanessa Codorniu, a modern-day bruja, fourth-generation psychic medium, clinical hypnotist, energy healer, and soul biz mentor and coach. An Argentine-American who started reading adults at 16, became a professional intuitive at 22, and now guides creatives, intuitives, healers, and entrepreneurs to break through fears, connect to the practical power of their intuition so they can serve the world powerfully. Hello, beautiful people. Hola, mi gente hermosa. So happy today to get someone on here that I really want to share with you because, let me tell you, we got on a video like a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was 10 days ago. I don't know, because life is crazy. And I don't know, we were on the phone or on the Zoom for like an hour and it was just like endless. So I was like, we have to get you on. You've got to meet her. Please open your hearts to Shirani. Hi, Shirani. How are you?
Hi, Vanessa. So excited and honored to be here with you and your community.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you here to share your magic, to share your journey. I cannot wait. And so in order for us to get in there, I always love to share the bio because even though people will read it, I think it's important for people to hear it. And so Shirani M. Patak, she, her, is a relational intelligence consultant and coach. She's a social worker, retired psychotherapist, and disruptor of oppressive systems in how we relate to ourselves and each other. Her goal is to use love as a force for dismantling supremacy culture and creating positive change in our world. Her zone of genius is at the intersection of science, psychology, and spirituality, where she uses her superpower of seeing interpersonal relational patterns to help people awaken from the spell of supremacy's culture's oppressive systems in their relationships. I like that. Shirani's toolkit includes energy medicine and ancestral healing. You can learn more from Shirani's wisdom in her books, podcasts, and newsletter, all titled Fierce Authenticity. And I will be sharing links below so you will have information to follow her. Shirani, I have to start at the thing that's calling me now that I'm reading the bio, relational intelligence. Please. What was the inspiration for that?
Yeah, well, actually, the inspiration for that came from, you know, we're here on the Biz Bruja podcast, right? We're here with the business stuff. So I'll talk about some of the business back end stuff, okay? The relational intelligence label came because I was like, okay, I have a background, as you read, as a social worker and a retired psychotherapist, and my work was primarily in relationships. So relational work, relational trauma. I do believe most trauma on our planet today is relational trauma. And so in doing this work, and I was always just like, oh, I work with relationships. But then I like very clearly received this vision that no, your work is also meant to be in corporate. Like you're going to be supporting corporate leaders. Like if we're taking down systems, we're taking them down everywhere, right? Like we're not just taking them down. Of course it begins within and then we're taking it out. And taking it down everywhere. So like, I just very strongly knew my work was going to be in corporate and I'm like, okay, but corporate, like what is something sexy that they might be interested in? Right. And of course, like you and I know that like, whatever, these labels are just labels. Right. But it was like this really, I was like, what's something like a sexy label that could like make sense to people? Maybe not today, but like the more I talk about it, it'll start making sense to people, right? Because people understand now emotional intelligence. And to me, emotional intelligence is definitely a foundational skill that you have to have for relational intelligence, because emotional intelligence teaches us what is happening inside ourselves, what is happening in my brain, in my heart, what is happening within me, and how might that be interacting? Maybe the one person I'm interacting with, okay? To me, relational intelligence takes that a step further and says, okay, and now how not only are my thoughts and emotions impacting me and maybe the one person I'm interacting with, but how is it impacting multiple people and systems around me? Because everything is a relationship. And of course, everything is a relationship based on how we relate with ourselves and how we relate with the divine. And so when we are in community with others, you know, it's like, you can have all the emotional intelligence you want, but if you don't have that extra next step of the relational intelligence, you know, I actually saw this recently where someone a colleague of mine who I trust so deeply and adore, and she was holding a group space, right? And the emotional intelligence is there for sure, but then a challenge arose in the group. And there was a little bit of hesitation in terms of like, well, how do I handle and navigate this challenge that is arising in this group experience? And she handled it gracefully. And then later, you know, was like, ooh, like, how can I handle that? Like, that's one of the fears I have about growing my work. And so that is kind of the relational intelligence pieces. And for me, I'll say this one more thing is like, it's also about like, you know, as change makers, as leaders, as visionaries, who are the people that I serve and support, we are constantly be going to get confronted with people who do not like what we have to say, who don't like our way of doing things, because we're doing things in new and different ways, which is really funny because it's actually not new and different. It's just a return to Indigenous ways, right? It's the decolonizing, it's returning to Indigenous ways, but it's really scary. And so we get confronted with people. And so it's like, okay, are you going to label that person a difficult person? Are you just going to write them off? You know, use supremacy culture's tactics to just shut them down and write them off? Or are you going to look at, okay, how am I relating with this person? How can I relate with someone when there is difference? How can I relate with someone when we may not agree or see things the same? You know, am I going to cancel them and cut them off? Or am I going to find a way to show up with love, grace, compassion, respecting their dignity and my dignity and the dignity of the whole, right? It's like so complex and so nuanced, but it's really quite simple once you like understand it. So that's my long-winded answer for what exactly is relational intelligence. You know, as a leader and a visionary myself, it's like that cutting edge, but really it's how do we relate and communicate? Like if I had to say it in just a few words, how do we relate and communicate? That is what relational intelligence is.
I love that so much. And I love that you took us on the journey, you know, of the word journey. So I love it. I think that it's so appropriate because words and thoughts create the space in which we work, live, breathe, relate. It also creates our world, how we speak, how we think. And it creates the perceptions, the projections, right? How we show up to everything. And what we are miscommunicating, right? Because I took interpersonal comm like in high school, but on a college level. And after that, and then I debated. And I remember my coach going, you don't get to come in here when you lose and go, oh, the judges didn't understand what we were trying to say. He was like, you have to watch them. Are they receiving what you're giving? Like the interpersonal comm, right? And being aware and active listening. And so, you know, my team went from like 86 in the country to top to ninth in the country in 1 year. But it was really because he was just like, don't blame the other person, take accountability and be responsible for what you're communicating. And I think it's really powerful because when there are mixed messages, abuse of power, fear for our safety in work, in our business, in our lives, in our relationships, we can't speak clearly. And so I love that you named it that. I think it's brilliant.
And thank you.
Did that come from, because, you know, everything that we navigate to, at least in my journey and what I've seen, and as an astrologer and as a, you know, medicine woman, mujer medicina, everything that we wind up offering to the world sometimes is rooted in something we've observed or rooted in our own wounding or our own healing or our own lessons. Is this rooted in something in your life, in your purpose, in your childhood?
Oh, absolutely. I was like, okay, I know who I'm getting on the line with. I'll probably share some deets here. I have Pluto conjunct moon in my third house. So it is all the shit. It is all the shit. And then I have like a Saturn Mars conjunction. And so that one, if we get there, we could talk about in the business side of things, like that's where that one shows up. But that Pluto conjunct moon in that third house is really like, I was reading messages from a client today and she's like, you know, I'm sensing you have something like really like, because I'm in a Pluto square Pluto transit right now. I just discovered that. I'm like, why has it been a total fucking shit show lately? Like, what has been going on? And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what's going on. Got it. Entering my, what is it? Neptune square Neptune? No, Uranus square. I don't know. But there's some other transit coming in. They're going to have some overlap. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? No wonder my whole world seems like it's falling apart. Like everything that I thought was true is like seemingly falling apart. But she was saying that like, well, no wonder like, because you do this deeply alchemical work. And she's like, I bet there's something in your chart, like, you know, around yes. that. And there absolutely is, because a lot of what I end up working with, and I know that this is something that's important for you, especially as you talk about brujería and what it really means. And is it really brujería or is it trauma showing up? You know, did someone really do some work on you or is it trauma yes. showing up? And so what ends up happening is, and this is why, like a lot of my work with my private psychotherapy clients, when I had a practice, was really that relational wounding that we experienced that taught us that we're not good enough, we're not worthy enough, we're not valuable enough, we're different, we're other, we don't belong, right? So it really comes down to all of that. So I did a lot of, you know, I had this thing, I'm like, yeah, I'm a trauma therapist disguised as a relationship therapist, really, when I had that practice, like it's what it was. And so yes, I have my own experiences of all of the not belonging, not good enough, not valuable, not worthy enough, because if I was, all of these people that were supposed to love me and protect me would have loved and protected me, right? But then the story, when I can apply all of my healing and look back on it, it's like, yeah, they would have protected me if they could have, if they weren't hustling and working three jobs to make ends meet, trying to meet the American dream as immigrants to America and, you know, all this other stuff. And so, you know, and they kept me safer than they were kept safe, right? Because when you learn stories of your lineage and stuff like that, it's like, well, yeah, they kept me safer than they were able to keep, or that they were kept safe, but it still missed the mark for us tender little humans, you know? And so that is the work that I end up doing with my clients. And now with my coaching clients, you know, when I do my coaching work, since I retired as a psychotherapist in my psychotherapy practice, in the coaching work, it's still that deeply alchemical work. It's still that. It's just in a different container with a different capacity. That's where I really get to bring my ancestral healing, the energy medicine, where I get to bring all of those pieces in. And a client I recently worked with in 4 months, she says, I said, I knew we were going to take a break for integration. I just knew it. We had done so much work. And I asked her, I said, how much work did we do? Like, how would you gauge it? She goes, we did 1.5 to 2 years worth of work. Like, yes. In this 4 month container, like, because that's how deeply alchemical it is. And so, yes, yes, whatever your question was, yes.
You know, and then when you told me Pluto conjunct moon in the third, I have Pluto conjunct Uranus and Jupiter in the fourth. So, you know, it's very similar. And there's where the ancestral roots are in the fourth. And there you mm-hmm. are with your neighbors, your family, your environment. Siblings, if you have them, or family. It's but I mean, I always find the Pluto, like you brought up, is going to be somewhere important for the folks who are doing this work full time. Because, and for you, like people ask me a lot of the times, how can you listen to like the worst of the worst, right? Incest and abuse and, you know, dysfunctional home and emotional narcissism, gaslighting, and all the things. And then I'm like, well, because I feel like I can hold space for healing. So it doesn't depress me. And do you feel the same way? Right? Oh, like, you're actually helping.
I love
helping.
That answer. Yeah. No, I love I'm that like, answer.
Well, I'm going into the underworld as a guide, but we're not going to stay there. We're not living there. Right. I'm like, how about get in? Let's row together. You know, it's not like I've moved there. I've only taken the overnight, you know, bag. I'm just not So do you feel that way too? Like,
yeah. Well, first of all, I love that imagery. Like, we're not living there. We're not moving there. We're just like, hop on, right? I refer to myself as like, you know, like a Sherpa helping to walk people through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's really what it is. And that's so Plutonian, right? Like with that.
Yeah. Me with the shadow and with the Sherpa.
Valley of death, you know. Just totally just like walking through it. And for me, it's, I just love the way you say it. It's so beautiful, because my answer has always been, there's very little that can scare me because I've been there. I've been there. I've lived it. I've experienced. I've done the work. I've confronted it. You know, I truly believe that as healers and helpers, we cannot go where we, like, we cannot guide someone where we have not been. And so had I not addressed my experiences of childhood trauma, I wouldn't be able to hold space when someone tells me, oh, and my uncle touched me inappropriately. And, you know, it was never talked about, right? Like, oh, let me name that for you, sweetheart. Like, let me name for you what that is. And let's create space and hold that, because I know that experience and I can sit here with you in it. So for me, it's more about like, been there, done that. Like, I've got the t-shirt and the badges to prove it. And so therefore, like,
the mug, the keychain, yeah,
all of it. I got all of it. The souvenir, the photos, all of it, right? Like, I've got it all. And so therefore, I can hold space to support that. And that's not saying I've had every experience in the world. You know, I had a client once that she had cult experience in her background, not something that I had, but the patterns and the themes, and more importantly, the trauma and the relational wounding are the same, right? And so I want to take it a step further, Vanessa, and kind of circle it back to, and then the corporate work, right? But wait, Sharani, you said your work is meant to be in corporate. Like, how does all this work out, right? Because corporate doesn't want to touch trauma with a 1,000-foot pole, right? They're great at perpetuating it, creating it, manufacturing it, but they don't want to touch it, right? When it comes to like talking about it in the workplace, right? And for me, this is where, like, for a while, I was using this super sneaky undercover, like, DEI belonging type label, because we get to look at our own experiences and our own implicit biases, right? And and we get to show up as like, how are my stories informing how I show up as a leader? How are my stories informing how I show up as the steward of this company? How am my stories informing what I'm doing in the world, even like how much we're exploiting, like our company might be exploiting resources and stuff like that, right? Like, how much of our stories are we aware of and not aware of that are informing all of those decisions that we're making? So I don't call it trauma work for corporate, but let me tell you, I'm like an undercover social worker for corporate, but they just don't know it.
I love it. I love it. What inspired you to leave your psychotherapy practice behind and step into business?
Yeah. So I was, for the last 6, going on 7 years, like ever since actually I wrote the first book, Fierce Authenticity, Show Up, Be Seen, Get Love. That's the subtitle. Ever since I was writing that book, I knew I was, that's when I actually got the message that like this, your work is meant to be in corporate. Like your work is going beyond the therapy couch, right? And so I always, for the last 5, 6 years, had known that there is something more for me. And so there was a grand debate. Our licenses in California, every 2 years are up for renewal. And so for 6 years. So for 3 whole renewal periods, there was always this, am I going to renew or am I not going to renew? Am I going to renew? Am I not going to renew? And fear is always what led me to renew, because it was a great, it was what made paid the bills. It's what made the money. It's what was sustaining my life, right? And so I did at one point say, no, I'm done. I'm not renewing this license. I did not renew the license, thinking I was going all in. And as life would have it, you know, there's a phrase in the recovery community, we make plans and God laughs. And so I did all these things, all this grueling thing. And I have received an invitation to enter back into the mental health space. And I've received the invitation and the assignment, and I'm like, okay, fine. fine. And I'm still in the messy middle of the feels of that. But, you know, I will not be opening my own private psychotherapy practice because I'm very clear that my path in my business is to bring this work to leaders, to visionaries, to change makers, to those people who are, you know, Aquarian energy here on the cusp of like really building this new world that we're envisioning, because we cannot create from the same energy with which this problem was created, right? Yeah. And the problem that I see a lot in our world is we're accidentally still replicating the same abusive patterns and dynamics, yes, the same supremacy culture systems in our change-making work and wondering why it's not working. Like, you can't come into my inbox and beat me upside the head that your way is the right way of doing it. You can't do that because you're doing the same shit you're trying to eradicate. So it's really serving and supporting these change makers and people who are on the cutting edge to heal their stuff, so that we can move forward and truly create this new world, and using love as a force to create that new world that we are here on this planet at this time to help usher and create.
Absolutely. No, I love that. I love that. And I love how you decided to step out, leave your practice, create your business, receive this invitation, because you never know where you're needed the most and where your gifts will be employed. And that's the thing, like, for a spiritual entrepreneur, alguien espiritual, somebody who was like really guided by their soul. You know, I always say that the universe, great spirit is my boss. Mm-hmm. Every year I've been online full time 12 years. And every year I just sit with myself and I'm like, is this where I'm best used? Is this where I need to be? And people sometimes are shocked with that. They're surprised. They're like, but why? You've already supported yourself all these years and you were in New York and it's so expensive, blah, 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 you know, before I got married. And I was like, because I think it could be a little bit ego-based to think that just because you've done something, you're going to do it for the rest of your life. I mean, it's our human desire to have comfortability, to feel secure, to feel comfortable. But we know that spirit doesn't, I mean, they want us, you know, we're safe, you know, and safe, but we're not really meant to always be comfortable. And sometimes we are guided to go into spaces. I remember when I had already been working for myself in 2009 for a year, and I don't add that in the 12 years. I had the 12 years straight that I did. And I worked for a year online, rented my own healing room and did the thing. And then I had to have a surgery. And spirit's like, you better get your booty back into corporate, sweetie. And I did, because the surgery was so expensive on my own with my little crappy insurance. And so I went back, and by the way, I got released the 2 days before my surgery. And I was like, spirit, could you have just kept me till I came back from my abdominal surgery? So that's how I want to build my business. But even with that traumatic, intense thing, I still ask every year, because am I guided to go into a school? Am I guided to go into a nonprofit again? Am I guided to go into a corporate setting? And I think it's important to remain flexible on the journey, that it's not just what you imagine, you know, and this I'm speaking to people who are dreaming of being healers and business owners, or people who are starting out. People have watched this story unfold online. I'm just going to go and I'm going to work on the beach and everything's going to be okay. I'm going to make money. I have been on the beach in 2013. I took my laptop to a beach in Panama. Okay. That had black sand. I forgot where it is, but if you all know, you know, and I took my little laptop. And I sat there with an umbrella. It's still overheated. It's not a good idea to do any sessions on the beach. It is not a good idea to write out program stuff on a beach where people are screaming and having fun. So there's responsibility to every dream. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I'd be like, in the morning, I do the sessions, the hypnosis, the things, the readings, write stuff out. Then in the afternoon, I get into the water and do and play time. And I would love for you to share any thoughts on that about, you know, because you are speaking to relational intelligence, to messages, to stories, and the messaging of the media and the online space, social media, giving us this thing. You're going to quit your job, follow your bliss. You're going to follow your human design and your little worth note. And I love astrology. I love human design. But at the same time, if we're not prepared, it doesn't matter what manifestor you are or generator, your booty's going to get tired. And so what are some thoughts that you have on some of the miscommunications or like the lack of clarity around, you know, presenting businesses online.
Yeah, lies. They're all lies. Lies. And before I dig further into that, I want to back up to something that you said, Vanessa, because you're absolutely right when it comes to, like, I love how you shared that every year you sit in contemplation of where is my assignment? Is this still it? Right. And it's really funny because at the beginning of this year, I was like, I'm literally have been reflecting since our last conversation. I've been reflecting. I'm like, you know, is this like, this is so not how I thought this year was going to go, you know, to receive this invitation to enter back into the workplace and to enter back into the mental health field. Right. Like, this is so not how I thought it was going to look and how it was going to go. And when I get still and when I get quiet, like you said, right, like there's one boss, like we serve the same boss, right? That the creator, source, spirit, the divine, right? And I truly believe that, like, okay, yeah, that was my assignment at that time to retire the license, right? That was the very clear instructions, guidance then. And I've kind of been reflecting on it. And it's like, you know, maybe this is just not a test, because I don't like that language, but I have no other language for it right now. Yeah, but it's like a test of, am I really willing to do what is being asked of me, right? And so retiring that license... Yeah. Am I really willing to do what is being asked of me? And in this, like this invitation I have received, that's actually an amazing invitation to enter back into the space. There's these little holdups and hiccups. And I'm like, okay, so am I really going back? Or is this again, the invitation to really look at how willing am I to be obedient to the messages that are coming through and to the assignment that is mine? And, you know, to be quite honest, like when I get quiet and when I sit still, there's something, every time I try to outrun something, it always catches back up to me. Right? Like it'll always catch up to me. I imagine the same is true in your life and the lives of your clients. And the same is true in the life of my clients as well, right? Like anytime we're trying to outrun something, like I know, like deep down inside, there's been a little whisper. There's been a whisper of, Shirani, you're supposed to bring this work to mental health professionals too, because that system is fucked. Like it is so fucked. So colonial in its origins, right? Like, and like, bringing this knowledge and this awareness of supremacy culture and interpersonal relationships and the therapy relationships, right? And I'm like, yeah. They probably need you to be licensed. They don't listen to people who aren't licensed because, again, the supremacist culture tactics, like, you know, only the expert with the credentials, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And literally as I was sitting in all the feels and it was like, yeah, because you're, it, again, it was very clear because you're meant to be also teaching this, and I'm kicking myself because the way I always teach systems change is that systems change is like a Trojan horse approach. It's going to happen from within, inside out. And I'm kicking myself. I'm like, damn it. Why did I have to teach it that way? Because here's my invitation to go back into those systems as an undercover boss, do some recon, you know, do whatever, some research and to look at it. And this is now going to circle back to what you're saying in terms of messaging around business. The reason I've had, and I'm going to be very honest and very vulnerable with you and our listeners today, because like the struggle I've been having personally is feeling like a failure. I've been in entrepreneurship for a decade, granted 9 years of that, like almost 9 years, 8 or 9 years, something like that, was a private psychotherapy practice. And then at the beginning of last year, at the end of 2022, December 2022 is when I retired that and closed that chapter. And 2023, it was like all in to coaching and consulting, right? And like you were saying, there's that the space has to be prepared, like especially when we have big work we're doing in the world, we need strong, deep, expansive roots. We can't, otherwise a little wind is going to come and knock us over, right? Like we can't. And so what I have been most struggling with is this feeling like a failure. This messaging around, like you're saying, like, oh, you should just be able to do it on the beach. You could just do it in 2 hours a week, right? Like you can do all these things. And that sounds really nice, especially for someone who was really fucking burnt out in my previous career, right? Like as a mental health professional for almost 20 years, as someone who walked through the pandemic personally and collectively and held space for clients through it, right? Like, it's really, I was really burnt out. Is what made that final decision of, no, I can't do this anymore, right? And so for people who are looking for, and I'll just be really honest, this is me sharing me, for yeah. people who are looking for that easy escape out of a situation that doesn't feel good, like the corporate, like you're so sick of corporate because they're working you to the bone. Oh, this laptop lifestyle on the beach, that looks really good. Let me like get in on that person's coaching program. Let me $10,000 there, $20,000 there, right? To invest in this. Maybe for some people it works out as the dream. For me, as a brown immigrant woman, you know, with ancestral roots, you know, direct descendant of oppressed peoples, has not been my story. That has not been my story so far, you know.
So far, and it's still new on the path.
Like, yeah.
You've been in business, and who knows if it was supposed to be that way. So then you return to where you're needed the most to work from the inside.
Yeah.
I think we can't be harsh with ourselves. I agree with you that people with burnout will tend to that. I have tons and tons of therapists who are my clients and who purchase business coaching with me, et cetera. And the thing is, like, you have to be willing, like you asked earlier, are you willing to do what you need to do? And like now I know how to expedite things. Like, look, I throw my podcast into a program and it gives me like the information. I used to sit there and listen to it and have to type it all out, right? And then I just took 10 minutes to download my episode, upload it into GarageBand, save it, do this, do that, create the graphic. It took 10 minutes, right? Because it was already done, the other work. Mm-hmm. And I put it up, but I'm used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's what I've been doing. And I know that you're also fast because I've talked to you, but people don't really want to work that way. If you're trying to leave corporate where the emails are on your butt, then online. And so obviously over time, like now I do so much improv. I'm on six teams. I'm on two plays. One of them just ended. I do so many things and I have a partner, but there were years, my first year online that I hit six figures, 2012, 2013, 7 days a week. That's what it took to get me the six figures and to pay my $2,000 rent in New York back then.
Right.
Over time, it started to shift and then courses were set up. And then you put a course in 3 months, 2 months before it starts and people are already paying. Then you've got your coaching and you've got your speaking. There are levels. Yeah. But the truth is we also have to assess ourselves. Some people want to spend time doing those things. Some people don't. Mm. Some people are like, tell me where to go and let me shine my light and let me do my thing. That's not an online entrepreneur usually.
Yeah.
Because and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I wish people could just set things up for me. And that's when the speaking engagements come in. And I'm like, and then all I do is walk in and I'm like, woo, just right, shining my light. But the truth is we are setting up our, even if we hire people, we're still setting things up. We're still creating our courses. And that can bring joy. And it could also bring burnout online.
Yes.
I have.
Totally. And I have burnt out online. And that's where when I was still in my psychotherapy practice, holding that level of space for my client, you know, private clients, and trying to build the online branch of the business, I was burnt out beyond belief, like so burnt out. And so, yeah, what you're saying, and I feel like people are selling the dream. And they're not actually selling what the process is really like, which is why I've so thoroughly enjoyed our conversations, Vanessa, because you keep it real. You talk about the fact that this isn't an overnight just manifested success, that you do need to do the groundwork. You know, it's like when we're planting seeds, you can't just throw the seeds. They're not going to grow. You have to like prepare the soil. You have to nourish it, nurture it, put the compost. Even if you make your own compost, it takes a while, right? Like all of that stuff. And so we're being sold this dream that might only be a reality for a small fraction of people, right, that are in this industry. And that's not to say it's not possible, right. But that's where those feelings of failure came from. The like, why couldn't it. And that's like the messy middle I've been in. But on the other hand, it's like, yeah, but I'm not giving up on my business. No, I'm doing what it takes. And if that means I get to go in undercover and do some recon, because there was a part of me that was like, how are you going to like do corporate work if you've been out of the workforce for 10 years, like self-employed for 10 years? How's that going to work out? So there was a little bit of something going on, and boom, now I'm going to get paid to go do research and what it's like to be in the workforce. The landscape has changed so much. You know, I'm like, gosh, like when I think about it more logically, it's like, oh, it makes total sense. When I'm not in the feelings based on the messaging that I've been sold, that like you should be able to quit your job and make six figures and all this other stuff. Lies. Yeah. And I want to share one more thing, because once I received coaching from someone, and it was such beautiful coaching. She was a Black biracial woman, all, and so she like was coming with that, you know, very social justice oriented lens also. And she said, you know, some of us just live further away from the grocery store. And I just thought that was such a beautiful way of saying it, because my coaching was like, why is it still taking so fucking long, right? Mm-hmm. And some people just live further away from the grocery store. And I was like, that is so true. Some people live right around the corner from the grocery store. Some people are well-connected. They have whatever, you know, they have skin color privilege. They have all sorts of whatever, right? And some of us just live further away. And I think this is where it's important to name. So my Mars and Saturn conjunction, it shows up a lot in my business. It shows up because I'm like, yes, let's move forward. And then Saturn's like, no, baby, no, you haven't put all the systems in place. You haven't put the foundation. And I'm just like, oh, so that's the shit that pisses me off. But here's the thing that I love remembering is when I know, like how you were saying, some people are like, oh, I'm just going to follow my North Node and whatever, right? No, for me, it's when I know that this is what my blueprint is, whether that be human design or the natal chart or all of it combined or gene keys, whatever, right? It just helps inform me to know I'm not crazy. It just gives me a frame of, oh, you know, like when I'm in my shame spiral and it's like, oh, no, this could just be Saturn being like, no, baby, like we got big plans for you, but you got to put the foundations like in place for this new business.
It's so many levels, and we're also living in an unequal system. I can tell you this, I don't lead with my coaching. I can tell you when I came out, I was part or on the periphery of a very famous, I was on the periphery. Like, they needed a Latina, they called me, honestly. It wasn't like I was there hanging out at the parties. Oh, there's a conference. I'm talking about 2007-08. And they were all white coaches, very thin, you know, model looking, most of them blonde, maybe one with dark hair. And they all helped each other. And I'm not, you know, I do have light skin privileges, but I'm not thin, you know, a voluptuous woman. I was probably I was older than them, and I wasn't hanging out in the same groups, nor did I have access to their friends' connections, nor their family connections. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people who, and we don't, I mean, it doesn't need to even be said, but I'm going to say it, who are just blonde, blue-eyed women, and they just get a connection. They have an article, they have this, they have that. Mm-hmm. And it happens across the board. Yeah. And then, you know, the tokenizing of BIPOC and Latinx people, where they just call you when they need you, or, you know, while I'm not going to be attacked in a certain light because I'm light, they're like, oh no, I can't bring you in because you're not like Latina enough, right? That's happened, right? It's happened, right? Where they're like, oh, but she doesn't have an accent, she doesn't have the black hair, what, you know, this and that. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of mishmash, a lot of still this systemic racism bias. And I think that coaching is very tough with that. And I'll tell you this, that I've been online 12 years. Like I said, I supported myself. I've made tons of money on courses, but they're about empowering people to go back to their indigenous roots, to work with energy medicine, to work with their own intuition. If I had focused on just coaching, I don't think I would be online. Mm-hmm. I'm just letting you know. And because my lens was always spiritual, I came out before there were tons of priestesses and readers, and because they didn't think they could do the money, they could make it, right? Mm-hmm. Because I came in with circles for 15, 16 years already in New York that were diverse, like people in my apartment not paying anything. And a lot of times as the people's healer, like that's the energy of what I've come in. My prices were never 25,000, were never 20,000. One of the things that I had to deal with was that people knew that I knew what I was talking about, but they would go and pay the $25,000 to the woman who had these incredible photos, usually always thinner than me, right? Usually younger than me, and showing the big house, the husband, the kids or not.
And probably white, blonde haired.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Always blonde, always white. And then they would come back and be like, I can't believe I gave them 25,000 and your program is only six, you know? And now you're still online years later, you know what I mean? Or even being the training that you're taught that you can only do a summit with people who have like 10,000.
Oh, right.
Right? So I once had somebody call me, reach out, and I knew they were new and they fit that, what we're talking about. And they're like, oh, you've been around a long time. I said, I've been doing, I had an intuitive leverage where I went to corporate and taught like intuitive strategies. I did this, I did that, I've been doing this. And she's like, do you have like 10,000? And at the time, this was like, you know, 8-9 years ago, I did not have that. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't have you on. And I said it for the first time in my life. I always was quiet, you know, because it's a small world.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, are you kidding me? That's what I said to her. You're nowhere to be found online when I Google you. You are taking. And I said, and I've been reading people since I'm 16 and holding circles with people and guiding them and helping them heal their ancestral blockages that Judeo-Christian religions placed upon people and immigrants and BIPOC and Latinx so they could connect to their power. And you're going to come here and tell me you don't want to put me in the intuition conference because I don't have 10,000 followers when I support myself from this work and people go to retreats with me and take my classes. She's like, I'm sorry. And I said, I don't mean to be rude, but next year, we don't know if you'll be here, but I will. That's the only time in my life where I've actually come out. A year later, they weren't there.
Yes. And you know what? You named something so important that I was thinking of. Those people that are like charging this big money for these big dreams, like that are quite unattainable. And I will say this from my own personal experience as someone who has fallen for that, you know, they burn through clients very quickly because when you are not authentic, when you are not the real deal, at some point your people will figure it out. When your messaging and the work that you're actually delivering is inconsistent and incongruent, people, and maybe they don't see it before because they're blinded by the desire of this dream because they're so done with their corporate thing or their, you know, mental health industrial complex thing or their healthcare industrial complex thing, right? Like they're so fucking done with that they're not seeing that until they get in and then they're like, wait a minute, this messaging and this delivery is not consistent. You say you're a social justice warrior, but you're actually not. Even though you're a BIPOC person, like you're still not. Like there's all these inconsistencies, right? And they burn through, like it's this quick burn, like I'm seeing like a flame that's like, you know, just what's it the word for extinguishes as quickly as it ignites, right?
Yeah.
Whereas your people are not burning, you're not burning. No, you're here. You're stable. You're sustaining, you know? Right? Because you're actually living your message. You're not creating some false whatever. And so your people want more of what you have to offer.
And that's a message for everybody out there who's building their business. Don't be afraid not to charge tremendous amounts. Don't be afraid to do a little extra work in the beginning. It's so important. And something that you're saying too, like, I love your integrity. You're so the real deal. Like, I definitely want to collaborate with you and other things in the future. I'm like, oh my God, there's so much. I love like your energy, your honesty. And I feel like, you know, you're going to absolutely be able to continue doing your sacred work in the way that sustains you. And know this, you know, we're all okay doing our own business until something happens. Get sick, something can happen. And so there's also the part that we don't talk about, the, oh, get your business, go after it. I have really worked through illness and then like didn't want to tell the world because then they won't hire you because you're sick, right? And so, and then it's like passive income. We can do that. We can invest money. We do other things. But the thing that really will bring in the income, at least for me, from what I can speak, is the connection that even if people are downloading some of the programs. And so having your own business, especially one where it's high touch and you're connected to people, takes its toll over time. Mm-hmm. So you may be also being placed in a space now at a good moment after 10 years where you're brought back in for some protection of that for the future, but you could still do, right? Because I'm like, 12 years to go back to corporate? I don't know, right? It's like, but the thing is, and I don't have those licenses to back me, but the thing is that it's a complicated thing. Not one thing is going to make you or break you. You know, a long time ago, I used to think, oh my God, if I could just be part of that retreat, mm-hmm. people would have been that retreat or that conference, it would blow everything into whatever. And then finally I got there and I was like, oh my God, and they're not paying. They're just promoting us. Right. Yes. That's another story for another day. They're like, it's expensive to do. You're going to get to rub elbows with all these book authors and all these famous people, blah, 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 blah. And it didn't pay anyone. It wasn't just me, but they covered the lodgings, food. Okay. And then you're like, okay, but if I get into this TV thing or you get into this article, right? And then you get there and you're like, it's still chop wood, carry water. Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, before business, chop wood, carry water. After business, because there's the thing of maintaining it. Mm. You could support yourself 1 year. And what if shit turns around? Now you can't pivot fast enough because things have changed.
Right. 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 You are just like bringing it. You are bringing it. You're on fire in the best way. And I love that. Like, it's always chop wood, carry water, always chop wood, carry water, always chop wood, carry water. Right. And I've been there. I haven't been invited to the retreats yet. That's the dream, right? To facilitate those spaces and to be invited into those spaces. And I've been there though, where you get to certain places. Like, I have so many logos for media appearances. Nice, mm-hmm. And that's great for getting the message out, but I'm there and like, it's not all that.
And that's like the little cherry on the top. That's like a little whipped cream. You're still, every business owner still and purpose carrier, you still have to get the banana, the ice cream. You're still going to have to build the foundation and continue working it every year that life changes, right? Because business pre-pandemic was very different. I've talked about my Facebook following that blew up in 2016, 44,000 in less than a year in my Spanish page. And then a year and a half into it, nobody could see me. I had 35,000 views at one point, people begging me to translate all my courses. And by the way, I sustain my business too, because I work in these two languages full time. It's mm-hmm. like, I also have really gone into Latin America and I've traveled to Panama and Costa Rica and spoken in Spanish and just taught. Mm-hmm. So the diversification of the work, it's not been just in English. And then suddenly they can't see you anymore. And I literally was on the floor crying, telling me they're killing. And I was telling my husband, they're killing my business. They're killing my organic reach. Ah, you know, and I had to lay there and be like, what am I going to do? And then I had to breathe and be like, okay, this is what you're going to do. And all of those things that people don't talk about.
Yeah. And so, I think that's when pay to play came in. Like, now that I'm listening to your timeline, I think that's when pay to play arrived in the metaverse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what happened. And I laid there and I was like, ay, Dios mío, no puedo, no tengo negocio, me están matando, you know? And then my husband was like, I thought you were going to be a millionaire with all those followers and all the requests and all, you know, and all the emails and the messages you got. You couldn't even keep up fast enough with your assistant. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to have enough for next month, right? But I mean, things shifted. But these are the ups and downs of like, of a ever-changing world where we have to continue to adapt. I don't want to say goodbye to you because you're amazing and I love everything that you share and how you share. Is there a message that you have on your heart? And I do want to ask these two questions. Mm-hmm. Then I'll ask the message.
Okay.
Then I'll ask the message. So we got to quickly, because I know you've shared a lot. What are some of the ancestral patterns that you feel like you had to break, heal, alchemize to be who you are right now in this moment?
I just want to pause and create space for that question first, because it's such a profound question, right? What ancestral patterns did I have to break in order to be who I am today? And that is an ongoing journey and exploration, right? And so for me, I'll just be very honest and I will try to keep it brief. Like, my biggest challenge has been, so I'm fifth generation Indo-Fijian. After the colonizers decided, okay, well, slavery is bad, So enslaving people was bad. They shifted to an indentured servitude system. And so my ancestors are six generations ago from India. Where? We don't know. We have an idea, maybe. And this is the 1800s, late 1800s. And so we, you know, there's a lot of lies, a lot of deceit, but there was also a lot of courage. And so I've been working through a lot of ancestral wounding to be able to access the ancestral wisdom, so, which is really funny. I was thinking about it. I also have a strong Chiron in my chart.
Where is it?
10th house of profession.
Where is your Chiron? Where is it?
I think I'm trying to remember Gemini, I think.
Okay. I love that.
I think that's where it is. And so like, it's, you know, the cobbler's kid has no shoes, right? Like I facilitate ancestral healing. Like it's a deep, deep, deep part of the work that I do, especially when it comes from the trauma we carry in our lineages from systems of oppression and all of that. Right. And yet like, it's taken me such deep, grueling work to be able to heal and clear some of those very deep, deep wounds that go back five generations of, you know, when my people arrived to Fiji, they were still treated as enslaved peoples, even though they were indentured servants, right? So there's such, I mean, I've heard stories even more recently of some of the stories that were told through the grandmothers, right? And it was just like, oh my God, like, you read about it in a book, but like to hear someone tell that, like, it was my husband's uncle was sharing a story that he heard from his grandmothers. And it was just like, ouch, right? Like that pain is still very close. Like what I'm trying to say is it's still very close. And so there is so much alchemizing that I am still in process with the wounding to be able to access the wisdom. And I've only recently been able to start accessing just a little bit the courage that they had, even if they were lied to, even if there was deceit involved, but the courage to leave their old life behind, to hop on a boat in the 1800s, to sign on to this indentured servitude, the dream of a better life, to go out to Fiji, right? Like there's just like, and so I'm like just now starting to really allow myself to access, but wait, there was actually a lot of courage. It takes so much fucking courage, especially as people from villages with little to no literacy, to be like, okay, like, sure, let's hop a boat across the Kalapani, the Black Seas, the Black Waters, to some island where we're going to live some dream. Like that takes so much fucking courage. And so, yeah, work in progress. All that to say, work in progress, girl, work in progress.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for, and I can already see what gifts you're leaning into. That was my next question. What are some of the ancestral gifts you're leaning into?
Yeah, that courage. And, you know, similar to how you have a lineage of women who come before you. And actually, I think even your dad, right? A lineage of people who come before you that have the psychic gifts and healing abilities. Also leaning into the wisdom of the gifts. Like, yes, there was trauma, like spiritual trauma, because it was very disembodied because there was no framework and no grounding for it. But today I get to lean into like, I actually come from a maternal lineage of healers. Like, how fucking amazing is that? Like, talk about being the real deal, right? Like, and so, yeah, those are some of the gifts that I am leaning into, like the courage to speak. And the women in my lineage are strong as fuck. Of course, they lived under certain systems and certain oppressions, but for who they were strong and resilient AF. And so also like channeling, I'm thinking of my maternal grandmother right now. There was such fierce Kali energy. And when I am in like my highest medicine, I very much feel like I channel also that very fierce Kali energy of splicing through illusions for love, right? For love.
Oh my God. So beautiful. Whew. I love that. And as we close today, is there any message? I mean, you've said so much already that is so deep and beautiful, but if there's anything else that's on your heart that you would like to share with our audiences?
Yeah, what's coming through is that you are so loved. And if you have a dream and if you have a desire, it has been placed on your heart. It has been placed there for a reason. And you don't have to know what that reason is. You just have to know that if that desire is there, that is an agreement that was made between you and the divine. And the only thing that is going to stop you from getting there is any thoughts, judgments, and beliefs that you have about yourself and what you believe is possible for you. And so you have to believe that it is possible, that you are lovable, that you are valuable, and that you are worthy of everything that has been placed on your heart and in those desires and in those dreams.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. This has
been can't wait to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been a gift, Vanessa. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for your light. Thank you for your love. As I'm looking at you, you know, I'm like, she's leaning into like the ancestral, like gifts of beauty, luminosity. Like you're so luminous, you know, your beauty shines through, your inner and outer beauty shines, and your gift for words and the way that you can shape your wisdom so it is relatable and it reaches as many folks as possible. I could feel that. And your generosity. Like, I feel like the generosity of your heart and your love and how you really want people to feel better. You want the world to be happy. You want the world to love each other. I could feel that so deeply from you. So thank you.
Thank you for that reflection. Oh, so juicy. I cannot wait for the replay so I can receive that again. Thank you, Vanessa.
Oh, thank you. And where can we find you, Johnny?
So I mostly hang out. Actually, you know where you can find me? I'm going to invite our listeners right now and our viewers right now. If you're listening in your podcast app or if you're watching on YouTube, go into the search bar right now and search Fierce Authenticity. You're going to search Fierce Authenticity. And if you're in your iPod app or if you're in your podcast app, you're going to hit subscribe. When you see that beautiful orange and hot pink and with my face come up, you're going to hit subscribe there. If you're in YouTube, you're going to follow that to my channel and subscribe over there. And those are really the portals where I share some of my most powerful messaging. And from there, you'll find me on IG. You'll get into the newsletter community. I mean, everything is there. And the main hub for everything lives at fierceauthenticity.com.
Thank you so much. Gracias, everyone. Do what she says. Follow her. She's amazing. Share this podcast episode if you feel like it's given you some support, some validation, some truth, some love. Muchas gracias. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharani.
Thank you. Bye.